It took me a while for me to make a decision if I really wanted to do this podcast. This is a podcast about childhood sexual abuse. Now that I'm in my 70s, I just began to get all the family secrets about the sexuality of our family adults back in the 1930s, 1940s, and the 1950s. My name is Eric. Welcome to the craziness that lives inside my head. So, you know, when you get older, especially you get my age, and all the adults that you grew up with are gone, and you're left with the cousins, their children. And I have a female cousins more than one. Some of them on my mother's side, some of them on my father's side, and those female cousins that are in between. And the conversation had gotten on to childhood sexual abuse. And I think it had a lot to do with going on with Diddy, the rap star Diddy. And that's why these conversations have been popping up. And these female cousins of mine have revealed to me what they had witnessed in their childhood. They witnessed the male adults were molesting young girls in the family, especially if the young girls weren't their child. I was horrified, and I'm not going into details, but it's just stories of how our great-grandparents and great-uncles would molest their stepchildren. Because when I heard the story when I was a child about what was going on, about uncles fooling around with their daughters, and to find out now that I'm in my 70s, these daughters that my uncles and grandparents were fooling around with weren't really theirs. Most of the uncles were their wives' children. It wasn't their child, it was their wives' children. And they were fooling around with their wives' children. The children were no more than, 10? I think the youngest, I had a cousin said that another cousin of ours was being molested at 10. And that's because that wasn't our grandfather's child. So, that's how it seems to me back then. Every family member, female member who tell me a childhood story, it would always be with, how can I put it? It would always be with the stepchild. It wouldn't be with, my uncle didn't molest his natural daughter, but he molests his stepdaughters or stepboys. I've heard stories about that too. I mean, there was a story that my father told me before he passed. He was in his 80s when he told me this story. He was telling me a story about he had a brother. And he said that his brother Earl. And he said that my grandmother went north, you know, in the summertime she would go north to make money, you know, so to have money, for to have food and stuff and money for the wintertime. So she would leave him and his younger brother with the father. And he told me that my grandfather was always very mean to his brother. And he said he would, tied his brother to a tree and was whipping him. And he said he had to stop his father from whipping his brother because it looked like the brother was going to die. And he said he asked his father, Why you treat my brother like this? Why you always treat my brother like this? And his father said, I treat him like this because he's not my child. And I was shocked when I heard, that from my father, and that was some years ago. And he passed, and after he passed, and another aunt passed, now there's no more, there's no adults back from those days. And now the cousins, the female cousins, are coming out with these stories that I never heard of. I've heard rumors, but I didn't know what exactly was going on. They did. I had one female cousin told me that her mother told her when she got of age of what the men was doing to the girls in the family. And I mean, it was shocking. I was really shocked. But then when I was told by my female cousin, I'm like, how can my uncle, how can my grandfather, how can they do this to their children? I mean, but then when you find out that it wasn't their children, it was their stepchild that they were doing these molesting things. Not that that doesn't make it any better. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't, Well, I mean, it gets you to think, especially when you hear about what's going on with Diddy and child pornography and sex to sex trade and human trafficking, and which is none of this is new. But to know that this was going on in your own family, and the way it was explained to me by the females in the family back then, it was like, because I said to her, why did grandma sat back and let, you know, and then back then she said, what can grandma do? You know, grandpa was actually, she was supposed to take care of the children. He brought the food home. He would take, you know, feeding the family and working the farm and all like this. What was she going to say? And it was mind-boggling to believe that the aunts allow this to happen. Now, I'm not saying they all did. I'm just saying the ones I was told about. And wasn't that many anyway. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's always one bad apple in the family. You heard that story. I mean, not all the uncles, not all the males did this. But those who did, it was really shocking. And how it was, nobody, as my cousin said to me, when we had a cousin, she's now in her 80s, and she had she was molested, and she got pregnant at 13. And my cousin now, she said, well, you know, back then when she got pregnant, they blamed it on her. They said she was a fast girl, she was this, she was that. She said, it doesn't matter, it wasn't her fault because she was only 13. It was their fault. But they, when stuff like that happened back there, they blamed the female, the girl. She was only 13 years old. What does she know? So anyway, sometimes I think I might feel a little uncomfortable talking about this story. But now, like I said, all the adults are gone. All the perpetrators are gone, passed away. A lot of the cousins that I heard that got abused, they're gone also. So anyway, another reason why I brought this up is because when I was in recovery back in 84, my psychologist had asked me about being molested as a child. And I said, you know, and I know she asked me that, and I thought it was kind of why she asked me that. And I said, no, I wasn't. But then I remember when I went home that night, you know, the day after seeing her, I went home and I started to have these memories. And I did have one memory, which was very interesting. And the memory, the reason why I say it was interesting, because sometimes when I tell you the story, sometimes I say, well, maybe that's why I'm gay, because of this memory. Well, I remember I was a child. I could have been about 5 or 6 years old. And every time we go out, my step-grandfather didn't have a car. So if we hang out with the family, it was always an uncle who had a car, and we had to pile in the car. And, you know, there's never enough room. I'm 5, 6 years old. So the children sat on the laps, the adult laps. So I had to sit on, every time we do this, I always had to sit on my step-grandfather's lap. And I remember, now mind you, I was only 5 and 6 years old. I didn't know at the time that every time I sat on his lap, there was always a lump. You know what I mean by a lump? And it always got stiffer, and every time we hit a bump, it was you know, of course I'm sitting on his lap, so when he hit a bump, you know where it's going. And I never thought about that. I remember at the time, I didn't want to, it was annoying, and I really didn't want to sit on his lap anymore. But I had nothing. But then when I was 13 and 14, I wasn't sitting on his lap when I was 13 or 14. That only happened when I was 5 or 6. But when I became aware, sexually aware, of what's going on in the world sexually, then I realized back then when I was 13 or 14, I said, oh, so that's what was going on with my step-grandfather. He was getting his jollies off on my butt, jumping up and down on, you know, when he hit the, every time the car hit a bump. So, and it was interesting because every time we go do a family thing and he didn't have a car and another uncle come with his car to pick us up, a group of us, he always wanted me to sit on his lap. Well, anyway, that's neither here nor there, but I got it after knowing that. So when she asked me this question, I told her, I thought she was crazy. I said, you're crazy. I didn't. And then when I went home, I thought about it and I said, well, is that sexual abuse? I mean, that's the only thing sexually that I can think of. I mean, we never did anything, you know, we never did anything sexually. I mean, we had our clothes on. I'm sitting on his lap. I'm only 5 or 6 years old. I mean, that was just you know how some men are, and they get touch of that area, they get excited anyway. So I said, I'm telling myself, you know, you're crazy. You're crazy. You gotta stop listening to these psychologists trying to make you think things, you know. And that's how I saw it. Now maybe, how you say, maybe I'm in denial. I don't know. But like I said, all the adults are gone. All the perpetrators are gone. And now I have to deal with this on my own. And I'm going to be honest with you. For a long time, I chose to believe that that was not sexual abuse. I chose to believe that my step-grandfather, like a lot of men, not because I'm older, and I know a lot of guys, I met a lot of guys, soon as you touch that area, they get it rises no matter what. I mean, it doesn't really matter. So, but again, why I bring this up? Because it just got me to thinking. Now, it did happen to me. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I have a thing for certain type of men. And the type of man that I like that gets me going, believe it or not, is exactly what my grandfather was like. I like hairy black men. I like hairy men, period. And my grandfather was quite hairy. For a black man, he was like a wolf for a black man. So now I grew up, when I got in my teens, that's all I wanted. Even, I hate to say this, that's all I want now. But that's all I wanted. A hairy man, a hairy black man. Hairy man, period. But so then that got me thinking too. I said, well, that scene, that episode of sitting on my step-grandfather's lap, did that cause me to, I hate to say this, did that cause me to become gay? And I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't choose to think so, but I don't think so, you know. Maybe I don't choose to think so. Not only that, my step-grandfather and I think it was Friday nights, we used to watch wrestling. And he used to be, especially on a hot August night, we're watching wrestling. And I remember this. I would watch wrestling, sit on the floor, leaning my back on his hairy legs. I loved to feel his hairy legs on my back. I remember that as a kid. I mean, I don't know. You are what you are. I'm not going to say somebody can't make you gay. I hate that terminology. Because that's what I thought the psychologist was saying. I was, you know, I got the feeling she was trying to say that I was sexually abused. And this is the reason why I am gay. No. I Google this. Because if I want to talk about it, child pornography and molestation, I always, every time I hear that in the news, I always think about the Greeks. So I Googled it, and it says that the most common form of same-sex relationships between elite males in Greece was They call it pederasty. Tia, I can't say it. Pederasty. It's a form of pedophile. It was a relationship between an older male and an adolescent youth. A boy was considered a boy until he was able to grow a full beard. In Athens, the older man was called erastes. I can't say these words. E-R-A-S-T-E, erastes, whatever. He was to educate, protect, love, and provide a role model for his boy, let's put it that way, whose reward for him lay in his beauty, youth, and promise. Such a concept is backed up by archaeological evidence experts have found throughout the years, such a bronze plaque of an older man carrying a bow and arrow while grabbing a younger man by his arms who is carrying a goat. Furthermore, the boy's genitals are exposed in the plaque. Thus, experts interpret this and more evidence comparative to this as the practice of, I guess, I can't say the word, pederasty, a pedophile. That's where a pedophile came from, the Greeks anyway, which is very interesting. It's interesting how society has changed. It was, I guess in those days, if you're rich and you're the upper class, I guess it was okay to have a young boy boyfriend or I say pedophile. And a lot of people today in our society, it is forbidden. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of things in our society is forbidden. And what's that saying? When in Rome, do what the Romans do. When in Greece, do what the Greeks do. But we're not in Rome, we're not in Greece. We're in the United States. Now, I hope I haven't bored you. But I will say this on the subject. When I was on the Dateline, I have met somebody, not one, maybe twice, maybe three times, but I've met guys who was a little older than me, and they were asking me stories. And one guy asked me something about what, put it this way, he was in BDSM, and he kind of wanted me to do to him what his father and brother had did to him when he was growing up. He was molested, if you want to say molested. He was having sex with his father and his brother. And talking to him, he was fine with it. They're dead. So he was trying to look to recreate those relationships. So I was going to be the father. I think he had some young kid. So he was trying to recreate relationships that he had with his father and his brother and how they treated him. So, of course, I couldn't do it. When I meet guys like this, I said, well, I'm into love. I'm not into hurting someone or belittling someone. And so anyway, not to bore you anymore. I got it out of my system. I didn't know if I wanted to talk about this. But like I said before, I don't think I was molested as a child. I mean, nothing sexually happened when I was a child. Not to say that it could have happened, but it didn't happen. And that chose to believe that. Thank you for listening to the craziness that lives inside my head.